You're listening to a 3CR podcast created in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.
Welcome to Breadline from the Australian Unemployed Workers Union on Community Radio 3CR.
So put down that job plan and listen to us.
I'd first like to acknowledge that this program is being broadcast from the lands of the Wurundjeri of the Kulin Nation. So their sovereignty was never ceded, and we want to pay our respects to their elders past, present and emerging. And we also acknowledge that the unfairness of the welfare system disproportionately affects First Nations people.
Hello, hello everybody, and welcome to another rip-roaring, high-fidelity Breadline show brought to you by the Australian Unemployed Workers Union here on 3CR Community Radio, 8:55 AM on your dial or online at 3cr.org.au. And the ghost of Chummy Fleming, that's the guy we're talking about, protested opening of First Federal Parliament. A rosy picture has been painted of the celebration 100 years ago, well, 125 years ago, or 124 years ago now, for the opening of the first Australian Federal Parliament on the 9th of May 1901. But at the time, there were those who protested the pomp and ceremony. The Age, Tuesday the 7th of May 1901, tells how the anarchist Yarra banker and trade union pioneer John Chummy Fleming led an unemployed protest to disrupt the mayor's welcome to the Duke and Duchess of York and the Ducal Party. Just as the mayor was about to speak, Flemington remarked that he was very sorry that in the circumstances he could not, on behalf of his party, extend a welcome to their Royal Highnesses in view of the fact that they believed thousands of people were out of work and many of the colonies were consequently suffering the miseries of starvation. The government had forced excessive burdens on the people and were endeavouring, by a false and expensive show, to make the royal visitors believe that everybody was prosperous and contented. Detective Stokes ran down the steps to the Yarra Bank and ordered Fleming to cease speaking. Fleming replied that he was just addressing a few friends as a response to what Fleming called the outrage of the right of free speech. Fleming and his friends burst into singing the Marsalius. The Ducal Party continued their procession. 3 days later, according to the Tocsin newspaper, 16th of May 1901, Fleming thought that the unemployed ought to be officially represented up at the exhibition building spread on Thursday evening in connection with the opening of the Federal Parliament. So he just strolled in and, after a friendly confab with one or two Labor members, who greatly enjoyed the idea, proceeded to luxuriate in the toffiest part of the whole assembly. His presence was a grief of mind to Detective McAnamy, who assiduously tailed him for 3.5 hours. At the end of that time, Fleming got tired of the sport and considerably gave the officer an opportunity of showing him the door. Well, that was nice of him. Chummy Fleming was instrumental in starting May Day celebrations and marches in Melbourne. He was a member of the Melbourne Anarchist Group, which formed on 1st of May 1886, the first formal anarchist organisation in Australia. In 1899, he was elected to the Trades Hall 8 Hours Day Committee and to the Executive of Trades Hall Council. He was president of the Fitzroy Political Labour League, the forerunner to an Australian Labour Party branch. For more than 60 years, he was a regular speaker at the Queen's Wharf and Yarra Bank Speakers' Corners on Sundays. In his early life, he was born in Derby, England, in 1863 to an Irish father employed as a weaver and an English mother employed as a factory hand. His maternal grandfather had been involved in the Corn Laws struggles and his father was active in strikes in Derby. His mother died when Chummy was 5. At the age of 10, he was sent to work in a Leicestershire boot factory, which took its toll on the boy's health and gave him a personal understanding of social injustice. In his teens, he attended free thought lectures of Charles Bragler, George Jacob Holyoake and Annie Besant. Obviously big names over in England there. At the invitation of an uncle living in Melbourne, he migrated to Australia in 1884, gaining immediate work as a bootmaker and joining the Victorian Operative Bootmakers Union. Also immediately, he involved himself in radical politics by attending the second annual secular conference in Sydney in 1884, organised by the Australasian Secular Association.
You're listening to a 3CR podcast. 3CR is an independent community radio station based in Melbourne, Australia. We need your financial support to keep going. Go to www.3cr.org.au for more information and to donate online. Now stay tuned to hear the rest of your 3CR podcast.
In Melbourne, he started attending Queen's Wharf and North Wharf Sunday afternoon meetings at the Yarra River, where popular speakers included Joseph Symes, president of the Australasian Secular Association, Monty Miller, a veteran radical from the Eureka Stockade, and William Trenwith, an aspirant Labor politician. In late 1889, Fleming was an organiser of the Sunday Liberation Society and addressed meetings on the need to open the public libraries and museums on Sundays. The public library had closed on Sundays due to church pressure. At a meeting near the Working Men's College, now known as Royal Melbourne Institute of Technology, a large crowd gathered. A deputation of five was appointed to visit Parliament House to petition for the libraries and museums to open on Sunday. When the deputation left, the crowd follows. The police failed to stop the estimated 6,000 people surging along the street and then up the steps of Parliament, where they finally stopped at the closed doors of Parliament. Several of the organisers received summonses for taking part in an unlawful procession and were imprisoned for a month. But the campaign was successful, but numbers attending the library on Sunday were insufficient and the library soon closed its doors on Sunday. Fleming's time in prison was not unproductive. While detained, he studied the prison regulations and found that the sanitary arrangements were less than required. So he stopped the governor on his weekly rounds, lectured him for an hour, whereupon the governor ordered immediate improvements. Good on you, Fleming. In 1889, Fleming helped form the Melbourne Lodge of the Knight of Labour in Melbourne, as well as being elected to the 8 Hours Committee. In September 1890, Fleming was first elected as a delegate of the Victorian Operative Bootmakers Union to the Trades Hall Council and later served on the executive. He supported intercolonial strikers, female organisation and agitation for peace of work rates as opposed to a minimum wage which the employers were after. Due to declining union membership, Fleming was instrumental in the Trades Hall Council devising union reorganisation, which resulted in a number of unions being brought into existence and many old ones strengthened. Often his support of grassroots initiatives helped support and the unemployed put him at odds with trade union bureaucrats and Labor politicians such as William Trenwith, who he accused of working with blood-sucking capitalists. 12 months after he was elected, unopposed, president of his union for a 6-month term and for a similar period as president of the Fitzroy branch of the Progressive Political League, the forerunner of the ALP, Fleming was a supporter of Max Hirsch. That's Hirsch, author of Democracy versus Socialism. At a Knights of Labour meeting in 1893, Fleming moved the motion of what was substantially the first May Day procession in Melbourne. This was the start of a long association between Chummy Fleming and May Day in Melbourne. during the 1930s, when Fleming's anarchist politics was out of favour with the May Day Committee, then controlled by the Communist Party of Australia, Fleming started marching a block ahead with his red flag and an Archie emblazoned in white, going so slowly in march, caught up with him, or sometimes he started back in the ranks to the front. In 1985, at a large meeting at the Melbourne Town Hall, Fleming and John White moved a motion successfully opposing the Melbourne Lord Mayor, Sir Arthur Snowden, from chairing the meeting because of remarks he had made supporting very low wages. A commentator in the Toxin articulated that it forced words to become deeds and resulted in the introduction of the factories legislation. Yeah, or so he was, it turns out this guy was very big back in the 1800s. And it also says here he spent many periods in unemployment. Back in those days, I don't know how anyone on unemployment survived back then because there was no welfare payments of any sort that I know of. But anyway, sounds like he had a good run of it. Okay, we've come to the end of the show now. Half an hour goes so quick. So thanks for joining us. Don't forget, we'll be back again next week, same time. Stay tuned for the Eritrean Voice show coming right up. My name is Daryl. You have been listening to Breadline, brought to you by the Australian Unemployed Workers Union. Good night.
You've been listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.